الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome in our program Summary of Tafsir al-Quran. Today, we will recite from Ruku number 10 from the second para. The first ayah is about Bani Israel, that Allah Azza wa Jal has given them some signs. And the second ayah is about the attitude of non-believers regarding this world. What do they consider this world? They consider this world as everything. This world is for them everything. And because they don't have belief in the day of judgment, they don't have belief in afterlife, they don't believe in the day of judgment, paradise and hell. So that's why just this world is everything for them. So Allah Azza wa Jalla has described, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Zuyyina lil-ladina kafaru al-hayatud dunya. The life of this world is made to appear beautiful in the sight of the disbelievers. This world has been made beautiful in the sight of the disbelievers. Why? Because when they don't believe in the day of judgment and paradise, so this world is everything for them. Their focus and their efforts are only for getting the benefits of this world. But because believers, they believe in the day of judgment, so that's why they survive in this life and they spend their life in this world as well. But they prepare for the day of judgment as well. Then the second thing which has been mentioned in this ayah, the disbelievers, they make fun of believers. Because when believers give up their luxuries, their desires for the day of judgment for the sake of Allah, and they hope the reward of their good deeds in the day of judgment, so then these disbelievers who don't believe in the day of judgment, they make fun of them. Why are these Muslims living and giving up their desires and worldly benefits? So they make fun of Muslims. But Allah Azza wa Jal told them that on the day of judgment, these believers would be in happiness, they would be in comforts, they would be in convenience, and they would be in better condition than the condition of non-believers. So Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَيَسْخَرُونَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And these non-believers, they make fun of believers. But on the day of judgment, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا فَوْقَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And the pious people will be above them on the day of judgment. Then the next ayah tells about the beginning of the people. How did they create difference among themselves? Because Allah Azza wa Jal created Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and Almighty Allah made him stay in paradise. Then Allah Azza wa Jal sent Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and Hazrat Hawa radiallahu ta'ala anhu to this world, to this earth, and they stayed here. So in those days when Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and Hazrat Hawa radiallahu ta'ala anha were only human beings, so from that time the belief, the religion was only Islam. All believed in Allah, all believed in the day of judgment. But with the passage of time, Shaitan created disorder and turmoil in their mind. He distorted their beliefs. Shaitan distorted the beliefs of people. So then the people, they got into groups. They were divided into groups. So some were believers, some were non-believers. So then Allah Azza wa Jal sent his messengers to make them understand, to give them the real teachings of Almighty Allah, the real guidance from Almighty Allah. So Allah Azza wa Jal has told that reality here. So Allah Azza wa Jal described, كَانَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً فبعث الله النبيين مبشرين ومنذرين. All the people were on one religion. Then Allah sent prophets giving glad tidings and warnings. All the people were on one religion, religion of Allah, religion of Islam. Then they were divided. Then they disputed with each other, and some people became non-believers, some people rejected a religion of Allah. So then they were in two groups. So for their admonish, for making them understand, for conveying the real message of Allah, Allah Azza wa Jalla sent his messengers. So فَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ النَّبِيِّينَ مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla told believers about their trials in this world, about tests from Almighty Allah in this world. As believers who believed in the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and who believed in Islam, so Allah Azza wa Jalla told them that time is coming, and the time has come, and time would come when they would be tested. They would be tested, because that is the sunnah of Allah to test people, particularly believers, because when they have believed, so now the test would start. And that is not a new thing for this nation only, for Ummat-e-Muslimah. It has been coming on from the time of previous prophets. So Allah Azza wa Jalla told believers, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. Are you under the impression that you will enter paradise, whereas the condition of suffering which came upon those before you has not yet reached you? They were afflicted with distress and hardship, and they were severely shaken until the messenger and believers with his said, when will the help of Allah come? Listen, Allah's help is surely near. So this ayah was revealed when Sahaba ikram, they came to the holy court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they were being tortured, they were being tormented by infidels of Makkah. So they came to the holy court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they requested to beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to supplicate against these non-believers, so that they are destroyed. So when they requested in the holy court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so Allah Azza wa Jal revealed this ayah to make the Muslim, to make the people understand that it is the sunnah of Allah to test his believers. So the time would come when you would be tested again, and it has happened with the companions of previous prophets as well. So that's why don't say that we would enter into paradise only because of this, that you have believed and you have said we believed in Allah. You would be tested as well. The time of hardship, the time of trouble would come to you, and you'll have to be successful in that test, then you would enter into paradise. Then the next ayah is about giving property and wealth in charity. So upon whom that charity should be spent, and to whom that sadaqah should be given. So they asked the question to the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, yas'alunaka madha yunfiqun قُلْ مَا أَنْفَقْتُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَلِلْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَبِنِ السَّبِيلِ. They ask you, O beloved Prophet, what they should spend. See, whatever wealth you spend in charity, that is for parents and near relatives and orphans and the needy and the traveler. And whatever good you do, indeed Allah is aware. So, from the beginning of Islam, Allah Azza wa Jal commanded believers to spend in the path of Allah. And particularly, that spending and that giving charity first should be for parents, because they are deserving more than others. They deserve our good behavior and our spending upon them more than others. So that's why the first deserving people are our parents. We should spend our wealth on them. instead of throwing them into old houses, how we should spend our wealth on them. Then our close relatives, because they have close relation, they have blood relation with us. So that's why they are more deserving than others. Then the orphans who are normally, who are commonly destitute, poor, and they are in the need of their necessities of life. So we should spend our wealth on them. Then wal masakin, destitute people. Then wabil sabil, the wayfarers, travelers. So upon them, the wealth should be spent. Then in second ayah, in the next ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal has given a very beautiful rule. And Allah Azza wa Jal has given a very beautiful rule in the next ayah, that sometimes many things we like in our life, but those things are not good for us. And sometimes we dislike some things, but those are good for us. Mostly what happens when we think under our emotions and feelings, we make a wrong decision, because emotions sometimes they overcome our logic and our wisdom, and then we make a wrong decision. So, and when we make our decisions in the light of our wisdom and logic, so then we make good decisions. So sometimes the things are good for us, but because of our emotions and because of our knowledge, we consider them as bad for us. And sometimes we consider something bad for us, those are good for us. Particularly in the commandments of Allah, regarding the commandments of Allah, Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us many commandments about prayer, about worships, performing Hajj, and family matters, business matters. Sometimes the commandment of Sharia, the ruling of Sharia, apparently we feel it is not good for us in our family matter, in our business matter. It will be the reason of loss for us. So sometimes we feel and consider the commandment of Sharia not good for us, but because those are the commandments of Allah, that's why those are definitely those are good for us, those are beneficial for us. So that's why the attitude of believer should be only one thing: following the commandment of Allah. Whether we consider apparently that good for us or bad for us, we have to follow the commandments of Allah. So here Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned that thing: وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌّ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, it may be that you dislike a thing which is actually better for you, and it may be that you like a thing which is actually bad for you. Allah knows and you do not know. Allah knows better and you do not know. So that's why whatever commandment comes from Allah, that is good for you, that is better for you. So that's why as a believer, our focus should be upon the following the commandments of Allah, instead of thinking about the logic. Is it logical? Does it come in our mind? Are we able to understand the logic and wisdom behind that? Whether we are able to understand the logic of the commandments of Allah or not, we have to follow the commandments of Allah. In that there is betterment for us. In that there is goodness for us. Because end of the day, particularly on the day of judgment, following the commandments of Allah is better for us. Though we have to confront some losses in our life, but in the end, those would be better for us. Then in next ruku, ruku number 11, Allah Azza wa Jalla has described something about a sacred month. And then in the same ayah, something about those people who turn away from Islam and who became kafir after accepting Islam. So they left Islam and then they became again infidels. Then the ayah about alcohol and gambling, and then very important matter regarding marriage. So the first thing, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الشَّهْرِ الْحَرَامِ قِتَالٍ فِيهِ. They ask you about the sacred month, fighting in that. What is the cause of revelation of this ayah? Basically, once Sahaba Ikram, they fought with infidels in a sacred month. So the infidels, they raised questions, they objected, and they made noise. What kind of people are these Muslims? They have fought in the sacred month. So they raised questions, they objected. So then Allah Azza wa Jal responded to them in this ayah, قُلْ قِتَالٌ فِيهِ كَبِيرٌ. O beloved Prophet, tell them, قِتَالٌ فِيهِ كَبِيرٌ. Fighting in sacred month is a major sin. That's a major sin. But these infidels who are raising these questions, they are questioning about fighting in sacred month, which was done unintentionally, which was done by Muslims unintentionally. They are asking questions regarding fighting in sacred month, but they don't think about their own deeds, their own evil deeds. What they have done, don't they know what they have done? What did they do? Allah Azza wa Jal told, وَصَدٌ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَكُفْرٌ بِهِ وَالْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ وَإِخْرَاجُ أَهْلِهِ مِنْهُ أَكْبَرُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. They have prevented people from the path of Allah. They have prevented other people from the path of Allah. Then they disbelieved in Allah. The second crime, the second sin. And then the third thing, that they drove out Muslims from Masjid al-Haram. They forced them to migrate from the blessed city of Makkah to the other cities. So their own crimes and their own sins are bigger than the crime of fighting in the secret month. So how can they raise this question, and how can they make noise? Then Allah Azza wa Jal told, wal fitnatu akbar min al qatl. Creating turmoil is bigger than killing. Creating turmoil is bigger than killing, and they have committed the crime of creating turmoil. Then Allah Azza wa Jal told about these people, they will keep on making efforts to turn you away from your religion, if they can do that. So they will keep on trying and making efforts to turn you away from your religion. But who will turn away from his religion among you, and then he dies in the state of disbelief? So then, فَأُولَٰئِكَ حَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. So then all of his deeds would be wasted in this world and in the hereafter. So turns away from religion means he became kafir again, accepting Islam. So all of his good deeds would be wasted. Then Allah Azza wa Jal described the accidents of belief and immigration in the path of Allah and striving hard in the path of Allah. So Allah Azza wa Jal told, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا وَجَّاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ يَرْجُونَ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ. Those who believed and those who left their homes for the sake of Allah and strive hard in the path of Allah, they are hopeful of gaining Allah's mercy. They are hopeful for gaining Allah's mercy. So that is the reward of those people who believed and migrated in the path of Allah. Then the next ayah is about alcohol and gambling. What is the commandment of Islam regarding that? So regarding gambling and regarding alcohol, there are three phases. In the early days of Islam, it was allowed to drink alcohol and to play gambling in the early days. Then Allah Azza wa Jal described some evils of these two deeds. But Allah Azza wa Jal didn't forbid from that. Allah Azza wa Jal forbid from that. But Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned some evils of these two deeds. In this ayah, the second phase of commandment regarding alcohol and gambling has been mentioned. So Allah Azza wa Jal said, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِنْ نَفْعِهِمَا. They ask you the ruling regarding wine and gambling. Say, O beloved, in both is great sin, major sin, and also some worldly benefit for the people. But their sin is greater than their benefit. Here, sin doesn't mean that drinking alcohol is sin itself. Or playing gambling is sin itself. It means it can lead a person to commit some other sins. So in that way, the sin word has been mentioned here, because this ayah is not for forbidding from these two evil deeds. After that, where Allah Azza wa Jal revealed other ayah, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, innamal khamru wal maisir wal ansabu wal azlamu rijusun min amali shaytani fajtanibuhu la'allakum tuflihun. In that ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal forbid from that. But in this ayah, just Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned some evils and some evil consequences of these two bad deeds. So in this ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal didn't forbid from drinking alcohol and from playing gambling. Then in the next ayah, about the property of orphans. Because it happened that a child has become orphan, so his property used to go to his relatives. They used, but sometimes they did wrong with them as well. So when Islam came and Islam mentioned and described the rulings and commandments regarding the wealth of orphans, so the people got afraid of mixing their wealth with their own wealth, because Islam strictly forbid from eating the wealth of orphans, and Islam warned them in very strict way. As Allah Azza wa Jalla said, "Inna al-ladina yakuluna amwal al-yatama wulman innama yakuluna fi butunihim nara." Indeed, those people who consume the wealth of orphans unjustly, they are filling their stomach with the hellfire. So that was the swear warning for those people who eat and consume the wealth of orphans. So then Muslims listened to that ayah, so they were afraid of that. They were afraid of using the wealth of orphans, though they had good intention. Because if they used the wealth of orphans for them, so that is good. Because orphans, so they are children, they can't use their wealth properly. So their relatives, they had to use their wealth for them. They had to spend their wealth on them. But then they listened to ayah, so they were afraid of using their wealth upon them. So then Allah Azza wa Jal revealed this ayah and told them that if you are mixing and combining their wealth with your wealth with good intention, and you spend their wealth upon them only, so then Allah knows better, then you are not sinner. But who has this intention and who has bad intention, Allah knows better. It's upon you now. If you are combining their wealth with your wealth for the betterment of orphans, so then it is permissible. But if someone is mixing and combining the wealth of orphans with his wealth to consume their wealth unjustly, so then Allah knows better. Then Allah knows his intention in his deed. So Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْيَتَامَى قُلْ إِصْلَاحٌ لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ وَإِنْ تُخَالِطُوهُمْ فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْمُفْسِدَ مِنَ الْمُصْلِحِ. And they ask you the ruling regarding orphans. Say, to do good to them is better. And if you combine your expenses, your wealth with theirs, they are your brothers. If you combine your expenses with theirs to save their wealth, they are your brothers. And Allah knows very well the one who is corrupt from him who is a reformer. So who has good intention, Allah knows better. And who has bad intention, Allah knows better. So that's why now you will have to rectify your intention and you have to rectify your deed. Then in next ayah, the commandment is about a marital matter. So Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَلَا تَنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكَاتِ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنْ وَلَا أَمَةٌ مُؤْمِنَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن مُشْرِكَةٍ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ وَلَا تُنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكِينَ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنُوا وَلَعَبْدٌ مُؤْمِنٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن مُشْرِكٍ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكُمْ. And do not marry polytheist women until they become Muslims. Undoubtedly, a believing slave woman is better than a polytheist woman, although you may like her. And do not give Muslim women in marriage to polytheist men until they accept Islam. Undoubtedly, a Muslim slave is better than a polytheist man. That is the commandment of Islam regarding marrying polytheist men and women. So marrying with the people of book when he lives in an Islamic country as and along with the other conditions, fulfilling the other conditions, so then it is allowed to marry her. And if she lives in their own country, in their own countries, then it is makruh tahrimi. But if men are women, they are polytheists, so now it is not allowed to marry them. Whether a Muslim man has to marry her or Muslim woman has to marry a man, so it is not allowed. The next ayah is about swearing by the name of Allah, a commandment which sometimes occurs among the people. As it happens, sometimes a person, because of his anger, because of some other reason, he swears by the name of Allah that I won't do that good deed. For example, I won't talk to that person. I swear by the name of Allah, I won't talk to that person. I won't meet that person. I won't enter into that masjid. I won't do that good deed. So sometimes the people do such kind of vows and they make such kind of swears. So Allah Azza wa Jal has forbidden from that. Never use the name of Allah to abstain from good deeds. To abstain from good deeds. So in this ayah Allah Azza wa Jal has commanded, وَلَا تَجْعَلُ اللَّهَ عُرْضَةً لِأَيْمَانِكُمْ أَن تَبَرُّوا وَتَتَّقُوا وَتُصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. And do not make the name of Allah a target of your oaths by taking a vow against doing good deeds and against fearing Allah and against making peace amongst people. And Allah is all hearing, all knowing. Meaning it must not happen that you swear by the name of Allah that I won't make peace amongst the people. I swear by the name of Allah that I won't do that good deed. So don't use the name of Allah for this purpose. Allah's name should be used for doing good deeds, not for abstaining from the good deeds. So in this ayah, that has been said. And it happens even nowadays as well, as sometimes people swear, I swear by the name of Allah, I will never talk to my brother because of any worldly matter, because of any worldly anger. So they swear. Sometimes the parents, they swear by the name of Allah, they will never meet their own children. Sometimes the children, they swear by the name of Allah, we will never allow our parent to enter into our house because of some family matters. So such vows and such oaths are haram because these are against the commandment of Allah. These are vows for abstaining from good deeds, for fulfilling the obligatory commandments of Islam. So these vows are not allowed. Then another matter regarding husband and wife, sometime in the time of ignorance and in the early days of Islam, what did people do? They swore by the name of Allah that they will not come close to their wives for 4 months or more than that. So then Allah Azza wa Jal command believer that if any of you has sworn in this way, so then he has a period of 4 months. During that 4 months, if he comes close to his wife, then he has to pay the expiation of his yameen, of his vow, of his oath. And if he doesn't come close to his wife, so then after the period of four months, his wife would be divorced. So in this ayah, Allah Azza wa Jalla has revealed this commandment. لِلَّذِينَ يُؤْلُونَ مِن نِسَائِهِمْ تربص أربعة أشهر فإن فاءوا فإن الله غفور رحيم وإن عزموا الطلاق فإن الله سميع عليم. Those who swear not to go to their wives, they have respite for 4 months, not more. So if they turn back to their wives during this period, indeed Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. And if they decide firmly to divorce, Allah is all hearing, all knowing. If they have decided to divorce their wife, so then after completion of 4 months, their wives would be divorced. Then in next ayah, some other commandments regarding divorce and waiting period iddat, and then taking the wife back in wedlock. So Allah Azza wa Jal has described, وَالْمُطَلَّقَاتُ يَتَرَبَّصُنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُوءٍ. That is the time of iddat. That's the time period of iddat. And divorced women shall restrain themselves for 3 menstrual periods. For 3 menstrual periods, they would restrain themselves. Meaning, for 3 menstrual periods, they would remain in the wedlock of their husbands. If they make ruju, if they take them back, so then it is allowed. But if they don't take them back, so then after 3 months, their divorce would be talaqe bain, and they would come out of the wedlock of their husband. So now they are free, they can marry someone else. So this is the command which has been mentioned here. وَالْمُطَلَّقَاتُ يَتَرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُوءٍ. But until the husband has not given 3 divorce, if he has given 1 divorce or 2 divorce, after that, he has a right to take her back. He has a right to take his wife back in his wedlock. But if he has given 3 talaq, now that wife has become haram for him, and now there is no other way. But after 1 talaq, after 2 talaq, he has a right to take her back. So that is the commandment which has been mentioned here. وَبْعُولَتُهُنَّ أَحَقُّ بِرَدِّهِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ إِنْ أَرَادُوا إِصْلَاحًا. And their husband have the right to take them back during this time if their husbands desire reconciliation. If their husband desire reconciliation, there is another point in this word, that if they have good intention in taking them back, because sometimes what do people do? They take their wives back, but with bad intention, to oppress them more, to torment them more, torture them more, to take revenge from the family of that woman. So with those bad intentions, they take their wives back, and it is haram. It is entirely haram, because that is crossing the limits of Allah. That is crossing the boundaries of Allah, which have been set by Almighty Allah. As Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned the same thing in the next ayah, أَطَّلَاقُ مَرَّتَانِ فَإِمْسَاكُمْ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ تَصْرِيحٌ بِإِحْسَانٍ. Revocable divorce is twice. For only 2 times. Woman must then be taken back on good terms or released with kindness. If husband has to release his wife, so then he has to release her with kindness. And if he has to take her back, so then it should be on good terms. Then Allah Azza wa Jal particularly mentioned the thing that these are the boundaries of Allah. فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا يُقِيمَ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَلَا جُنَاهَ عَلَيْهِمَا فِي مَفْتَدَتْ بِهِ تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَعْتَدُوهَا. So these are the limits set by Allah, so do not exceed them. And those who transgress Allah's limits are the unjust ones. They are wrongdoers. They are zalimun who transgress the limits set by Allah. So the matter of talaq is not an ordinary matter, as everyone knows. That is not an ordinary matter. That is the matter of life and death sometimes. That is the matter of the life of a woman and a man. So that's why be very careful in this regard. And if someone has to give divorce, so then he must think about the consequences, good or bad consequences of giving divorce. May Allah grant tawfiq to understand the Holy Quran and then act upon the commandment of Quran. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Quran is my life.